Good evening. I'm glad to see everybody that's come out tonight to join us and continue our study in the rapture in relation to God's calendar and God's timetable. And just as a reminder, this is something that we do not need to be confused about. It's very clear in the scriptures, and just remember that the Word of God says that God is not the author of confusion. And God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of what? Of power and of love and of a sound mind. And also we learned last week in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 9 that God has not appointed us to wrath. And who is us? That would be the body of Christ. And the whole purpose and the point of this series of messages is to nail down the point that the body of Christ will not go through the tribulation. And there's no reason for the body of Christ to go through the tribulation. And when you think about the purpose of the tribulation, not only is it to destroy evil upon this earth and for God to bring judgment upon this earth, but it's also a time when God is going to turn back to Israel. And if you remember, Israel was cut off so that we, the body of Christ, could be grafted in. And the only way God's going to be able to graft Israel back in again is for him to take the body of Christ back out, which is at the rapture of the church, so that he can graft Israel back in. And when he grafts Israel back in, then he will begin to deal with them. And if you remember, Daniel 9:27, the Antichrist is going to sign a peace treaty, and it's going to be a false sense of peace. Israel's going to rebuild the temple. There's no temple today. Guess what? We are the temple. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit. Where does God dwell today? In the heart of the believer, the body of Christ. Amen? Now, during the tribulation, at the 3.5-year period, more than likely, there will be a dedication of that temple. And at that point, that's when the Antichrist is going to come in and desecrate that temple. And when he does, then the nation of Israel, their eyes will be open once again. And at that point, they will make their flight back to Petra, where God will supernaturally protect them. And at that point, God's wrath is going to be poured upon this earth. And thank God, at the end of the tribulation, at the end of the 70th week of Daniel, the second coming is going to take place. And when Jesus comes, it says that every eye shall see him. Amen. And I tell you what, we don't have any white linen, but I tell you somebody that does, the Lord Jesus Christ. And guess where we're at today? We are in Christ Jesus. So the second coming and the rapture are two separate events. It cannot possibly happen at the same time on God's calendar. Remember, Israel was cut off. The body of Christ is now being grafted in, but we're going to have to be cut off for Israel to be grafted back in themselves. And remember, we are the children of light, not the children of darkness. Now, we're in 1 Thessalonians, and tonight we're going to be looking at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18, and chapter 5, verses 1 through 9, among other passages. But if you remember, the Thessalonican church, they were very worried about those who had already died. And they were very confused concerning the rapture of the church and the second coming. So this confusion has been going on for a couple thousand years now. So what Paul did when he wrote 1 Thessalonians was he set all of this stuff straight at the church at Thessalonica, and we're just going to simply study it tonight so that we can set it straight today in 2009. Amen. So, tonight, we're going to be looking at the scriptures that I just referred to in 1 Thessalonians 4. And then we're going to move into 1 Thessalonians 5. And in order to understand 1 Thessalonians 5, it's very essential to be able to distinguish between, and I know some of you are probably going to say, well, I've never heard of this, the prophetic program, which is what one that where God deals with the nation of Israel, and the mystery program, which has to do with the body of Christ. And this is going to be a whole nother CD and a whole nother series of messages. But God had a prophetic program and a mystery program, and I want you to stay with me on this. God had two distinct, separate programs. And I'm just going to give you a couple sample verses before we get started and before I tell you what the prophetic program is and the mystery program is. And you're not going to hear me mention these kind of things unless I have multiple verses of Scripture to back it up. Because I'm not here to share with you about man's wisdom, because guess what? I don't have any. So, if you will, look at Luke in chapter 1, verses 68 through 70, and listen very carefully what it says. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of David, or of his servant David, and we know who the horn was, Christ himself, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets in prophecy, which have been what? Since the world began. It was spoken of since the world began, this prophetic program. Now, with that said, and remember tonight, I'm not really going to teach on this, but I just want to show you a couple sample verses for those that's never heard this before. In Romans chapter 16, in verse 25, listen to what it says here. Here in 25 and 26, it says, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel. Now this is Paul speaking. When he's talking about my gospel, he's talking about 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, and also Romans 10, 9 and 10. The death, burial, and the resurrection of Christ. And he says, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of what? The mystery, which was kept secret for how long? Since the world began. Now we saw one that the world has known since the world began. It's been revealed since the world began. It's been spoken of since the world began. But now we see this mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest by what? It is made manifest and by the Scriptures. That's exactly right. So we know this. The prophetic program focuses what? On the earth. Why? Because it has to do with the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel was promised a piece of land. They were promised a kingdom. And that kingdom is going to be set up on this earth after the 7 years of tribulation. And it's very important to understand that it was spoken of since the world began. And it concerns the nation of Israel. And it concerns the gospel of the kingdom. The chief apostle was who? Simon Peter. Remember when Peter, in 1st and 2nd Peter, Peter said, these things that this man Paul is speaking, they're hard to be understood. He didn't understand. He was so deeply rooted in Judaism. Listen, these folks are going to go through the tribulation because it's talking about the Jews. Jesus will return and he's going to set up his earthly kingdom and he's going to rule and reign for 1,000 years. And Jesus Christ himself is going to be king. I got news for you. Jesus Christ is already our king. He is the King of Kings and he is the Lord of Lords. We did not reject him. We gladly received him as king. Let me tell you something. The nation of Israel, it says that he came unto his own and his own received him not. And who was that? The Jews. The nation of Israel rejected the Messiah when he came here. Now that brings us to the mystery program. It focuses on the heavenlies. We're seated with Christ in the heavenlies, in heavenly places. We're blessed with all these heavenly spiritual blessings. And it says here that it was kept secret since the world began. Now the prophetic program was revealed since the world began, but this mystery program was kept secret since the world began. And I just want to show you something. Even when it comes to the death, burial, and resurrection, in the book of Luke 18, 31 through 34, listen to what it says. It says, then he took unto him the 12. Now who were they? They were Jews. And said unto them, behold, now this is Jesus with them, speaking to them. He says, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. But listen to what he says. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked, and spitefully entreated, and spitted on. And they shall scourge him, and put him to death. And the third day he shall rise again. And listen to what it says in verse 34. And they understood none of these things. Guess why? Keep reading. And this saying was hid from them. Neither knew they the things which were spoken. Now I just whet your appetite reading this for the next set of messages on the next CD. But for right now, we're going to focus on the fact there's a prophetic program and a mystery program. I'm going to tell you why in a minute you need to understand that, because it's going to refer to both of them in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and chapter 5 whenever we get there. So, it concerns the gospel of grace, the mystery program does. Who was the chief apostle? The apostle Paul. He was the apostle to the Gentiles. Concerning the body of Christ, which is going to be conformed to the image of the Lord himself. When is our sanctification? Remember, our sanctification has three parts. We already talked about that in a previous message. Folks, the rapture of the church, the body of Christ, is the final sanctification. That's when the old body, what does it say? The dead in Christ shall rise first. They are going to get that glorified body, and guess what? We which are alive and remain shall be changed. We're going to be caught up, and we're going to be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and we will finally be completely conformed to His image. As long as you live on this earth, you're not going to be 100% conformed. Amen? Because we have two natures, and those of you that go to this church know that this coming Sunday, we're going to have a message on the two natures. Now, in this mystery program, Jesus is the head. He is the head of the body of Christ. We're the body. He's the head. And remember, he said he put all things under his feet. Let me tell you something. That's where the devil needs to stay, is up underneath your foot. Amen? I'm going to tell you something. If you step your foot on the snake's head, you know one thing for sure. You better not move your foot because he'll come out from under there and he'll get you. So you got to keep him where he belongs. Now, here's another thing. During this mystery program, concerns the body of Christ, these folks will be raptured prior to the tribulation. Amen. Now, we are the body of Christ. Now, with all that said, as an introduction, I want to bring you to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I'm going to go ahead and start in verse 13, and I'm going to read all the way down through chapter 5 in verse 9. And I'm just going to point out a few things. We'll expound on it a little bit more in a few minutes, and then we'll move on. Now, remember, the church at Thessalonica was confused about the rapture and the second coming, just like folks today are. They were worried about those that already died and passed away. He says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. Who are the brethren? This is talking about the body of Christ. Concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others, which have no hope. Who are they? Those who are lost. Those who today have rejected the gospel message that Jesus died for them, he was buried, and he rose again on the third day. Verse 14, for if we, take a mental note of this word, we. He's talking to, verse 13, the brethren. Now he's talking about we. So now we're talking about the body of Christ. He says, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. That's where our hope is. Our hope is in the resurrection. Now, verse 15. For this we say. Now, who is we? The body of Christ. Unto you by the word of the Lord that we which remain. We which are alive and remain. Unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. When he says prevent, that means that we will not precede them. The dead in Christ shall rise first. And those which are asleep are those who have already died to go on to be with the Lord. But their body is still laying in a grave, ready to be resurrected. Verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Where do we find the phrase in Christ in Scripture? In the Pauline epistles. Nobody other than Paul himself preached on the rapture. And if you want to know about the body of Christ, guess where you got to read? You got to read in the Pauline epistles. Amen? He says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ rise first. Verse 17, then who? We, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up. Now remember, in the introduction or one of the previous lessons, we talked about that word caught up. In the Latin, that word caught up, in the Latin now, not the Greek, which was what this was written in, but in the Latin, that word is raptus, and that's where we get the word rapture. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord where? In the air. And we already know, and we're going to show the differences in the last message tonight, not the first one, but the last one, that at the second coming, Jesus Christ himself, his feet will come down and touch the earth. But at the rapture, where are we going to meet him? In the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, verse 5, he says, but. What this means is, when he says, but, now that I've told you this, I want to comfort you with these words. I'm talking about the rapture. Now, this word, but, in the Greek, what this is, it's a divider. It's just like coming right down through the middle of the passage here and saying, okay, I just told you about the rapture. But, when you start seeing the times of the seasons, the day of the Lord, and the thief in the night, those are prophetic program statements. Those are kingdom statements that you will only find when it refers to the prophetic program. A lot of people go to Matthew 24. That's where everybody's getting confused. And the first thing they want to do is to start showing you where you're going to have to go through the tribulation. But you're going to see statements like the day of the Lord, the thief in the night, and the times and the seasons. Who is it that seeks after the signs? The Jews sought after a sign. Why is it that when Christ walked the earth, he performed all of these miracles, raised people from the dead? Who did he do it for? He did it for the Jews. He certainly didn't do it for the Gentiles, because he only dealt with two Gentiles the whole time he was on the earth. He said, go not but for the house of Israel. Don't go to the Gentiles, not even to the Samaritans. Why? Because they were half-breeds. Christ's earthly ministry was to the Jew. Amen? Primarily to the Jew. So he said, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. I got to go back to verse 1 again. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. You don't need to know about the second coming, other than the fact you're coming with it. We've already talked about the rapture. Now listen to this. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. Verse 2. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, now note the words, they. We just got to keep talking about we and us. Now we're going to start talking about they and them. Because we see the word but. We're through talking about the rapture. Now he's going to be talking about something else. Listen to this. He says, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. You remember it says, if the days were not shortened, even the very elect would not be saved. You remember that? Speaking of the Jews. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, and that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of the darkness. And listen to what he says. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. And I'm going to explain all this in a few minutes. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. And they that be drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, we're not of the night, we're not in darkness, we're of the day, I'm going to explain this later, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for the helmet, the hope of salvation. And listen to this next verse. For God hath not appointed us, not they and them, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to go through this and cover a few things with you for just a few moments. This chapter started out with the word but. And in the Greek grammar, it's a divider. It divides two subjects, which separates the subject matter. That's what it does. Of chapter 4, verses 13 through 18, from chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. And I want to point out six things. Chapter 4, verses 15 through 18 has to do with the mystery program, which was revealed by Paul. Now, chapter 5, verses 1 through 3 has to do with the prophetic program, which was spoken of since the world began. These verses contain prophetic phrases here in chapter 5, 1 through 3. The times and the seasons, that's a sign. The day of the Lord, that has to do with wrath. And a thief in the night. Listen, we're watching. We're watching for the Lord's return. Listen, the nation of Israel, as far as they're concerned, Christ has never come at all. Messiah has never showed up on the scene. They crucified Him. They rejected Him. Their Messiah. They are not watching. They're still looking for the King. In chapter 4, verses 15 through 18, it deals with the rapture, the body of Christ. Chapter 5, 1 through 3 is related to the return of Christ to the earth at the second coming to rule and reign for the 1,000-year millennium. Now, the Thessalonian believers needed more understanding concerning the rapture. It tells us that in 3:10 and 4:13 through 18. He says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep." He's saying, you need to be taught. You need to understand what the Word says. Guess what? We need to be taught. Mm-hmm. But you know something? They fully understood the day of the Lord. They fully understood the second coming. They knew about that. But it was still a mystery to them about the rapture of the church. And that's what Paul was doing. That's why Paul said, "You have no need that I write unto you." In chapters 5 through 1 through 3. But in chapter 4, 13 through 18, remember it said in verse 13, it says, "I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren." That's why he was telling them they needed to learn. But see, Jesus didn't tell the Jews about the rapture. Paul told the body of Christ about the rapture, and the reason why is because the Jews are going to go through the tribulation, and the body of Christ is not going through the tribulation. Amen. Chapter 4, verses 13 through 18, concerns who? Us. Remember? Us and we. The body of Christ. We find the word "we" four times. In chapter 5, verses 1 through 3, it concerns them. The unbelievers who Christ will judge prior to His reign. It concerns them and they, those who are going to go through the tribulation. They are the subject. "When they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction shall come upon them, and they shall not escape." Remember, in chapter 4, verses 13 through 18, we see us and we. Then in chapter 5, 1 through 3, we see them and they. Don't you think there's a reason for that? Because us and we is the body of Christ. Them and they is referring to those who are going to be here during the tribulation itself. Chapter 4, verses 13 through 18, it closes with the exhortation to comfort one another with these words. But notice in chapter 5, verses 1 through 3, it contains no comfort at all. But I tell you what, it could actually strike fear in the hearts of the unlearned and the lost. But remember, 2 Timothy 1:7, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind." You can't have a sound mind and have power and boldness in your walk as a Christian when you're worried about God judging you and bringing wrath upon you. I'm telling you now, the Lord Jesus Christ has already paid our judgment. He paid for our salvation in full, and it's a done deal. Amen. There's a definite contrast between these two passages. And these two passages describe two totally different events. Hopefully, from this day forward, just in this passage alone, you will not confuse the joyous day of the rapture with the calamitous day of the Lord, placing the rapture of the body of Christ before the great tribulation. Chapter 4 and verse 18 says what? "Comfort one another with these words." And that's referring to chapter 4, verses 13 through 18, where he talks about us and we, which is the body of Christ. Is the body of Christ going to have to go through the tribulation, folks? Absolutely not. The answer is found right there in one word in chapter 5, "but." You see that word "but"? It contrasts the rapture with the day of the Lord, which is the second coming. Look at verses 4 through 11. "But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. You are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us, to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Here you go, right here, verse 10. Who died for us, that, whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Wherefore do what? Comfort yourselves together, and edify one another, even as also you do. Now, we just read those scriptures in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 4 through 11. Paul continues to emphasize the distinction between the rapture and the day of the Lord. Look at verse 4. He says, but, you notice that? He goes down chapter 4 through 18, we and us. Then you get down to chapter 5 and verse 1, what does it say? But, there's your separator. Then he starts talking about that. Then you come down to verse 4, what does it say? But, you see that? He reemphasizes the distinction in verse 4. It's so important to study the scripture and rightly divide it. The Christ rejecting world will be overcome as a thief in the night. But the body of Christ will not be here during the night of the tribulation. We are of the day. And I want to show you an Old Testament passage that parallels what I'm saying. Exodus chapter 10. If you turn to Exodus chapter 10, verses 21 through 23, I want you to listen to these words. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand toward heaven, that they may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. Now that's scary, isn't it? A darkness which may be felt. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in the land of Egypt for 3 days. They saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. Now, with that said, Exodus chapter 10, 21 through 23. The thick darkness fell on Egypt for how many days? 3 days. But the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. They had light in the midst of darkness. I'm here to tell you today that we used to live in darkness. We used to be like them. We were bound up in our sin in the land of Egypt. But I want to show you something that Paul tells the church and the body of Christ today. It talks about darkness and it talks about light. And I want you to see this. I'm telling you that the god of this world, the devil, little G-O-D, is the one that's blinding folks today from the gospel. But I'm here to tell you, when he that letteth will let be taken out of the way, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, I'm telling you right now that the tribulation is going to start. That's going to be the rapture. The peace treaty is going to be signed. The tribulation is going to be started. And I'm here to tell you, capital G-O-D, is going to be blinding the hearts in the minds of those who have rejected the greatest thing in all the world. And I'm telling you right now, I want to read you that scripture in Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning in verse 9. It says, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness and them that perish because they received not the love of the truth. What was that? The gospel. That they might be saved. And for this cause, capital G-O-D, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. I'm telling you, I don't know what these books are teaching folks that they're buying in the bookstores, but I'm here to tell you, the book, the Word of God says that if you reject the gospel in the church age, and the rapture takes place, God is going to send you strong delusion, that you would believe a lie and be damned because you receive not the love of the truth, because it ain't going to be about us no more. It's going to be about the nation of Israel. Now, we were talking about that darkness and that light. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. Listen to this. But if our gospel, what is our gospel, folks? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 through 4. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. Jesus died for you, he was buried, and he rose again. Amen? Listen to this. Chapter 4, 2 Corinthians, verses 3 and 4. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world, little g, little o, little d. That's the devil himself. We're talking about the church age, the body of Christ age. It says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. Let me tell you something. You can sit up here and you can say all you want to, but the only thing that matters is what the Word of God says. The Word of God has the power to change your life. But today, the Word of God is exiting the pulpits across this country. There's not one thing said by the Apostle Paul about God protecting or helping the body of Christ through the tribulation. Not one thing said. Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. We're living, he's the one that brought the gospel of grace to us. God revealed it to him. He was caught up in the third heaven. He was blind for 3 days. And the scales fell off his eyes. And he received the gospel of grace and brought it to us. Don't you think that if God was going to punish his children, don't you think that if God was going to punish and bring wrath on the body of Christ, which to me sounds even foolish to say, don't you think that the Apostle Paul would have had at least one word to say about it? But he didn't. You see, folks, we were blind. We were without God in the world. We were in darkness. Remember, we were talking about that. But the light of the glorious gospel shined into our hearts. And you know what? It was the Holy Spirit that opened our heart to it, to that light. The Holy Spirit's the one that opened up that shutter like in a camera and let the light come in. Who was Paul seeking when he met Christ in the third heaven? He wasn't looking for God. He was looking for Christians to persecute. He said he was the least of the saints. He said that he was the chief of sinners. He said that he persecuted the church beyond measure and tried to waste it. But guess what? God drove him to his knees. He opened up the shutter of his heart and he allowed this light to shine in. And guess what? It's the same way with us. We wasn't out looking for God. I'm telling you, we can't polish ourselves up and make ourselves righteous and acceptable to God. It's all got to do with his grace and his mercy. Yes. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I want you to see something right here. Ye are the children of light and the children of the day. You're not of the night nor of the darkness. We, the body of Christ, are not of the night. We're not going through the tribulation. Neither are we of darkness. Look at verse 8. But let us who are of the day be sober, be on alert, be on the watch, because there's nothing else left in prophecy to take place for the rapture to take place. But there's a lot of things left before the second coming can take place. That's why he says, let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith. How are we made righteous? How is righteousness imputed to us? By faith. And what? How do we fulfill the law of Christ? By loving each other. And love. And for the helmet, the hope of salvation. You got to guard your mind against this foolishness that people are out here talking about today, about the body of Christ going through the tribulation, when there's absolutely no reason at all for the body of Christ to go through the tribulation, because Jesus has already been through tribulation on the cross for us. Our sin is paid for, and it's a done deal. Amen? We have the hope of salvation. Let me show you this right here in verse 13. We have the hope of salvation. Look at the word others. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. We have the hope. We have a hope of salvation. We have the hope that when Christ appears, we're going to be with Him. He's going to, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we're going to be zapped out of here. But guess what it says about the second coming? Every eye shall see Him. That's why we have the peace of God that passes all understanding, as it talks about in Philippians chapter 4, in verse 7. Look at verse 9. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by what? Our Lord Jesus Christ. He's already paid the price. The Lord Jesus Christ has already gone to the cross. All of our sins, past, present, future, and our sin nature, Galatians 2:20, was crucified with Christ on the cross. What do we have to do? We fight the two natures, but we have to reckon that old man to be dead. Amen? But he keeps popping his head back up. But one of these days, the rapture is going to take place, and it's going to be all over. And we'll never have to worry about the old sin nature ever again. In verse 9, not only are we going to be saved from the wrath to come at the rapture, but our salvation will be completed. And I got a couple more verses here I want to show you, and we're done. In Romans chapter 8, verse 23, listen to what it says. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. We cannot wait to get out of this body of sin. And then in chapter 13 of the same book, Romans, in verse 11, listen to what it says. He says, "And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed." Let me tell you something. It's time for us to get serious. To get serious about serving Christ. It's time for us to get serious about studying the Word of God. And I want to show you one more passage in closing. And after this, we'll have one more lesson. And in that lesson, I'm going to show you the scriptures that contrast the difference between the rapture and the second coming. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, there's two passages of scripture that describe the rapture of the church. One of them is, we just read, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. And the other one is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 51 through 54. Listen to this very carefully. "Behold, I," that's Paul, "show you what? A mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. We is the church. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." Those of us who are alive and remain, immediately, boom, we're going to be changed. But remember, we're not going to precede those who have already died and going to be with Jesus. Because their body is going to be resurrected, and they're going to get that glorified body. Verse 54. "So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." How? Because Jesus Christ was raised from the dead 2,000 years ago. See, that's our hope, the resurrection. And not only that, but if we die in this body, a physical death before the return of Christ at the rapture, guess what? This body is going to be resurrected, and this corruptible is going to put on incorruption, and this mortal is going to put on immortality. Thank God for the blessed hope that we have in Christ Jesus.